from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Now back to Overtime with Sterling Bennett and Mark Grandy on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Yes, it's overtime. That must mean it's football season once again. Just the preseason for now, but we are close. We are getting close to week one, Monday Night Football, Niners and Jets, the 9th of September. Woo. We're now on the 10th of August, Sterling. We're less than a month away from Niners regular season football. Ooh, we're getting close.
Hey, Rodgers, discount double check. I can't wait. Monday night at Levi's, Frank Gore going into the Team Hall of Fame. The legends are going to be out. Patrick Willis just got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, I know the Brandon Ayuk drama's out there, and we just lost a preseason game, but my goodness, I'm riding high on the Hall of Fame right now because San Francisco's got some legends that are going to be honored on Monday, week one of the NFL season, in prime time. What else could you want?
And nothing more than that, other than a win. Just get a win. Week one, Monday
Night
Football. Get a win, and we'll all be good. Yeah, the Niners open with the Jets, then the Vikings and the Rams. Jets are at home, Vikings, Rams on the road. Then you return home, Patriots, Cardinals. You go to Seattle. You got the Chiefs and Cowboys at home, back-to-back weeks. Something I didn't quite realize, obviously, we've known the opponents for a long time, and we knew the home and away opponents for a while as well. Then the schedule kind of got laid out, obviously, and you know when you go on the road, when you're in Seattle, when you go down to LA to take on the Rams and all of that. One thing I didn't quite put together as I was going through the schedule until recently was you got some awesome home dates this year. Like you got some, you have the Jets, you have the Chiefs, you have the Cowboys, like and you got the Lions again, a rematch of the NFC Championship game at home. You got the Bears. The Bears, Caleb Williams, who looked, I guess, kind of fine, good in his first preseason game.
You mean
game.
He looked like Patrick Mahomes 2.0, is that what you mean?
What did Patrick Mahomes look like in the preseason, his rookie year, or the year he was going to start? We didn't know about Patrick Mahomes until week one when he just exploded onto the scene.
Whenever I see him or hear his name, I just see red. I get so angry. I just never want to hear it, see him again. It's to a point. He's like the vein of my existence. Like, why are you in my life? I hate that you're here, Patrick. I hate it.
I imagine you saw the Raiders with the Kermit Patrick Mahomes puppet that they brought to training camp. I'm sure it's not going to go over well for them.
So apparently a fan brought that to training camp. The Raiders didn't make it. But what's worse is that Raider players go over there, they play with it. It's like, why would you poke the beast? I'm pretty sure the Raiders were the team that like went to the Kansas City midfield market Arrowhead and were like dancing on it and having a good time. Then Mahomes beat him for like 35 points. And it's like, what are you doing? If there's anyone you don't taunt, it used to be Tom Brady. Now it's Patrick Mahomes. Don't even look his way. Don't look his way at all. Don't poke the beast, Raider fans. Please don't.
If memory serves, the Raiders are the last team to beat the Chiefs. That happened last year, right? Yeah, the Raiders on Christmas Day. That's right. It was the Christmas Day game. You were just talking about Niners-Ravens on Christmas. Raiders in Vegas beat the Chiefs 20-14. Then the Chiefs won their final two games of the regular season. And then, of course, we know what happened in the playoffs when they won four games in the playoffs, including that one that happened also in Vegas. Yeah, we don't need to go into that. But
flashbacks.
Yes, I'm sure that it's not going to end well for the Raiders against Patrick Mahomes. Do not poke the bear, as you said. But the Niners today didn't really do much poking. They lose to the Titans 17-13 is the final score. Don't really care too much about wins and losses in the preseason, but as we were talking about in our first segment, Sterling, plenty to dive into on individual players and performances. And if you're just joining us, the major news out of Tennessee for the Niners is Ambry Thomas broke his forearm, and Kyle Shanahan said it'll be a while. So indefinite absence for Ambry Thomas, where we weren't even totally sure if he was going to make the roster. One guy who we definitely do know, Sterling, is going to make the roster. Oh, a couple of guys. I mean, this could go for a whole number of ones. But the one I'm going to focus on...
53 to be exact.
I think Christian McCaffrey is going to make the roster this year, Sterling. The one that I'm going to single out here is potentially Christian McCaffrey's backup, Jordan Mason, who I know has been getting a lot of run as potential RB2 in training camp. He got the start in this game, preseason game number one, played one drive, six carries, 34 yards, that's about six per carry, and got a touchdown. He was awesome with the ball in his hands. He was running angry. He consistently fell forward. No one was pushing him backward. After contact, he was always getting an extra 2 or 3 yards. He's looking like a legitimate running back in the NFL, Sterling, and I know we don't want to overreact to just one preseason game, but honestly, what we saw from Jordan Mason running the ball is what we've seen from him every time he's run the ball, even in regular season NFL games. It's maybe been some of the other things that have held him off the field, whether it's pass pro and picking up blockers, or maybe it's a little bit of pass catching that hasn't been his strong suit. But if he's getting better at those other areas, we know the running ability is always there, Sterling, and it was certainly there today. That one drive, by far the Niners' best drive of the game, led by JP, Jordan Mason.
There's always that one, maybe two players every preseason you go, wow, they're the preseason MVP. I can think back to my youth, and Thomas Clayton was a big one. Every single preseason he had like 300 yards rushing. Oh, he's going to make the team and be an impactful player. Then it was always the Frank Gore show, rightfully so. Then a couple years later, I think maybe towards the end of the Harbaugh era, it was like Capri Bibbs. Where's this guy? Oh my goodness, what's going on? And you're like, they never play. Whereas Jordan Mason, the last three seasons, every time he gets the football,
yep,
he's always impactful, whether it's 5 yards a pop here, being the closer on a Thanksgiving night game in Seattle. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, who, again, is the clear RB1 of this team, Offensive Player of the Year and Madden Cover Superstar, mind you, he has a firm grip as a starter, clearly. But he himself called him the Mariano Rivera of the running back room, which baffles me as to why, when, again, your reigning Offensive Player of the Year says that, and one of the greatest offensive players in the last decade of football says that.
Compares you to
Kyle
the greatest
Shanahan,
closer of all time.
And Kyle doesn't get the clue of, maybe I should play this guy more. Go back to last year in Cleveland. Jordan Mason has a touchdown run, a long one, mind you, and it's like, why do we continue to play the Elijah Mitchell card? And it's no knock against Elijah. He had a phenomenal 2021 as a rookie, and it was like, wow, you know, who is this kid? But, you know, running backs' lifespans aren't very long in the NFL. And Jordan Mason, I think, really can be the thunder to Christian McCaffrey's lightning. Now, the thunder shouldn't hit very often, but he can be utilized in a way to, whether it's on fourth and one or third and short. You know, my mind harkens back to 2021 against the Rams in the NFC Championship game. Instead of giving the ball to Kyle Juszczyk, give it to Jordan Mason. He'll give you something and maybe have a first down and you win that game. It's small situational stuff where I can see him being a really impactful player. And you know, he's improved the hands this year, albeit dropped the pass today, which wasn't great, but it happened. And you hate to say this, but it does aid him in his pursuit of the RB2 position when Elijah Mitchell's hurt. Isaac Arendo, fourth round pick, is also injured, and Cody Schrader and Patrick Taylor Jr. and Matt Breida didn't do much. Like, he is a clear number two on this team behind Christian McCaffrey and should get the ball more than he ever has in his career this season.
Yeah, it's kind of an awkward discussion because while you always want to have a capable RB2, and it seems like Jordan Mason can be that guy, and I think everyone is rooting for him to be that guy, the other side of it is, Sterling, when you have Christian McCaffrey,
yeah.
I hope I basically never see Jordan Mason. I mean, obviously, you need to spell McCaffrey every once in a while, and you kind of have to protect McCaffrey from himself. I know Herm Edwards has said that about Ricky Pearsall, and we can talk more about the running back room in a little bit. But focusing on Jordan Mason, if you're a Niner fan and you want the best for this Niner team, you hope that Jordan Mason doesn't ever get 20 carries in a game. Or if he ever does, it's last game of the regular season because you already have the one seed wrapped up and you don't need to give McCaffrey any unnecessary touches. But you hope for another fully healthy season of Christian McCaffrey. He's dealing with an injury right now, Shanahan has already said he's not going to play in the preseason. Should be available for week one, but we don't really know that for sure. It doesn't seem to be that serious, but not going to play in the preseason. Why would you need McCaffrey to play in the preseason anyway? You want to have a good backup. You want to have a good RB2, and he's going to get touches every once in a while, and throughout the game he'll come in for a few snaps here and there. But you don't want it to be a situation where you have to really find out if this is a guy that can be your lead back for an extended period of time, because, Sterling, that means the Madden cover athlete goes down with an injury, and you don't want that.
Right, but even then, so let's be under the assumption that the best workload for Jordan Mason is around three or four carries a game, maybe five. You know, that's kind of the sweet spot for him. McCaffrey touches the ball 20 times a game. Mason, you know, comes in for relief a few times. But I don't think I'd be too insane. You don't have to lock me up in an asylum somewhere when I say this, that the Niners, by not playing Jordan Mason, could be keeping a really impactful player on the bench. Like, when I think of Jordan Mason, really great tandems in the backfield, my mind immediately goes to LaDainian Tomlinson and Michael Turner when they were the San Diego Chargers. Well, you got your LT and Christian McCaffrey. Now, Michael Turner was a 10-year pro, went to Atlanta, had an amazing career, and it was a really impactful player. I think it was a leading rusher for a few seasons. He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Jordan Mason is Michael Turner 2.0, but he can be something like that, where if you have to give McCaffrey a breather, goal line situations, you want to keep McCaffrey healthy for 18-plus weeks, but Jordan Mason's right there. Use him, Kyle. Use him.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see him, and he's good enough to get a handful of carries, but I don't want to ever get into a situation where I feel like he better perform or else we're in big trouble, because that means something happened to Christian McCaffrey. Now, there is the balance that you have to strike, and I know you and I talked about this a lot last season. A team with the 49ers' expectations and with the goals that this unit has, obviously goal number one is win the division. And for this Niner roster, that's almost like, I don't want to say given, but it's almost as if you don't win the division, it is a colossal failure. Like, you have to win the division. That's goal number one. Goal number two is then to get to the one seed. And that's obviously much harder, and you need some other things to go your way, and you barely had it work out for you last year. You had some help. There was the late season collapse by the Eagles, which helped you out a ton. You, of course, contributed to that collapse. You went into their building, and you dominated them, and that was kind of the beginning of the end of the Eagles. But you have
those bums.
Those bums. We'll see how they are this year. But obviously, I mean, the Lions are really, really good, and they might be fighting you for the number one seed as well. That's goal number two. And goal number three is to win the Super Bowl. I guess you could throw in win the NFC and then win the Super Bowl, but that's where the Niners' goals are. You kind of have a checklist, and every once in a while, you're checking another one off that list, and you're not going to be satisfied until you finally check that last one off your list, and that is win the Super Bowl, and that's the one thing this team has not done yet. And when that's your goal, Sterling, you kind of have to pace yourself. I'm sure you watched all of Receiver, the new Netflix documentary.
Yes.
It was really difficult for me to watch the final episode because we knew what was going to happen in the Super Bowl, and I kind of forgot about it when it was happening. And obviously we knew the injuries that were going on throughout that game, but watching the receiver doc and seeing George Kittle go up to Kyle Shanahan and say in the fourth quarter and overtime of the Super Bowl, I can't play because I can't even move my arm because my shoulder is so messed up. And then you have Debo fighting through everything that he's going through. Like, you kind of forgot just how banged up this team was. And that's not unique to the Niners. Every team that plays that deep.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Into the postseason is going to be banged up, even when you have the two weeks between games, between the title game and then the Super Bowl, you're still going to be banged up. My point, and it's very a long-winded one, my point is, Sterling, when you play that deep into the postseason and you know your goal is to go that deep, you got to do everything you can to try to keep everyone as fresh as possible. And some of that is potentially maybe thinking about limiting Christian McCaffrey's touches when you can. We talked about that so much last season. I'm not sure it really happened all that often. Maybe it could have happened a little bit more, but that's kind of the catch-22, because when you're trying to limit McCaffrey's touches, you're also just taking the best player in the game out of the game when he can just be in the game and help you win. So it is a catch-22, but if the Niners have the ability to keep some of their stars as fresh as possible, it might pay dividends down the end, and that's perhaps where J.P. Mason's value comes in for the 49ers, in keeping someone like McCaffrey as fresh as possible deep into the winter.
Well, and it's not like he has to be off the field entirely. You can put him in the slot. True. You can put him outside. You can use him as a decoy. And Shanahan is smart enough to be able to utilize Christian McCaffrey as just that. You don't have to make him the primary ball carrier for 25 times a game. Yes, you want to give your star players the ball all the time. Hence why you want Debo touching it 8 to 12 times a game. And you want Kittle more involved. And that's why Niner fans scream and yell when Debo Samuel's injured. Why are you not feeding George Kittle? When, like, it all makes sense, and you know, I think Shanahan gets it. He said it during the OTAs and training camp period of, you know, we do have to save Christian from himself. We want to keep him fresh, and whether that is, and to be honest, the easiest way to do so is to limit his touches in between the tackles. Now, he's phenomenal in between the tackles, but the last thing you want is for a smaller player like Christian McCaffrey, who is very durable, mind you. You don't want 300-pound linemen rolling over his legs. How many times did we see him being twisted, man, turned, and you're just like, oh my goodness, how is he still walking? Is he okay? But he hurt his neck in the playoffs last year. And you're like, oh my goodness, Christian, are you okay? And he had calf injuries late in the season. They haunted him in 2020. It's not like McCaffrey's bulletproof. He can't play all, you know, every game and be 100% every single game.
I mean, the story,
when you know that.
The story before he was a Niner, Sterling, was this guy can't stay healthy. Like, that was his, that was what his career was boiling down to at that point.
And I think that right there should be incentive enough. While I do think the injuries are kind of, they are very not stuck in 2020. They can be isolated to that time period, though. But we already see now, he has a calf injury. He's going to miss 3 weeks. And when you have preseason calf injuries, albeit he said he can play if this game was meaningful, the last thing you want to do is... Okay, Christian, go out there for 30 carries a game, 25 carries a game for 18 straight weeks. That's not how you preserve your stars. You have so many of them already, you shouldn't be getting injured, but we all know Garrison Hurst against the Falcons. One wrong cut, wrong guy, you know, falls on you, snapped your legs, and your postseason hopes are over. You have to keep CMC healthy, and Jordan Mason can help you do that.
Last year, Christian McCaffrey, you're right. There were so many moments where all of every single Niner fan out there just held their collective breath. Because there were so many awkward falls and tackles and plays where big, big guys rolled up on McCaffrey and he goes down in kind of a heap for a second. But then McCaffrey, like nothing to happen, just pops right back up and he's good to go. Like, I know so much of McCaffrey's career has kind of been centered around his injury history. I know a big part of that is kind of the fantasy football world where you wonder, right, can I draft this guy? Is he going to be healthy for 15, 16 games this year? Like, I got to know. Am I worried? Am I going to draft someone that's going to get hurt week two and then I'm going to lose my season because of that? Obviously, a lot of that is just how we think of football in a fantasy viewpoint. But last year, Sterling, McCaffrey had kind of like that LeBron James aura to him where he'll take like hard foul, hard contact. He'll fall down time and time and time again. And I know a lot of Warrior fans here, you think of LeBron as a flopper. LeBron and his longevity and his inability or his just simply never gets major injuries. One of the best characteristics of LeBron and what makes him so good. That was McCaffrey last year. Hard contact, hard hit, scary fall, time and time and time again, and was unwilling to come off the field. I remember after the Thursday night game on Thanksgiving in Seattle, his then fiance, I don't know if they were engaged at that point, I think they were, his then fiance posted a video of him or just a picture of him on social media. And he's got bruises like head to toe. And I know that's not new for any football player, but this is the dude who literally will just play through that kind of pain every single week. And when you have a guy like that, it might be in your best interest to, you know, usher along your young RB2 and get him a little more touches and carries. And it's obviously easier for Shanahan to be willing to do that, Sterling, if you have a guy that you are confident in. And maybe it's just as simple as the Niners not being terribly confident in their options last year. Maybe with what J.P. Mason is doing through training camp and early in the preseason so far, there's a little bit more confidence there. And then maybe that makes the calls a little bit easier on Shanahan's part.
Well, I hope so, too, because Jordan Mason isn't just this kind of ground and pound, put your head down and bowl through people. He can certainly do that, as he's shown every single time he gets the ball, but he's quick. He's shifty sometimes, but I don't even think it really is just a running back issue of how can you preserve your stars, because it doesn't just stop at Christian McCaffrey. It goes to Deebo Samuel as well, and unfortunately, as things currently stand, they'd walk into 2024 with Deebo Samuel as receiver number one and then Juwan Jennings as receiver number two and then a whole lot of question marks behind them. And you know, after watching today's game, albeit no Ricky Pearsall out there, I think Chris Conley made the best case of anybody to be this team's receiver number four over Jacob Cowling. And again, once Pearsall gets back, we'll see. He hasn't made a preseason debut just yet, and he's been hurt the last week or so. But Chris Conley, going back to last year, week, 18 against the Rams, had a nice game and carry that over into the Super Bowl. And arguably, had Juwan Jennings not had two touchdowns, including a catch and a pass, Chris Conley was the team's MVP to me. He was phenomenal in the Super Bowl.
Wild.
And like today out there, he looked like a veteran player that can contribute to a receiver room that has a lot of questions. Do you trust Danny Gray and Ronnie Bell and Trent Taylor and Tay Martin? The answer simply is no, I don't.
Well, Danny Gray can't even get on the field. He's
hurt. Did he even play tonight? Yeah, you're right. Oh my goodness. I hate to bring this back up, and it's definitely a drafting issue, but when you say Danny Gray didn't play tonight because he's hurt, and then you're going to Ambry Thomas breaks his forearm, those are 2 third-round picks. And you're like, oh my goodness, the third round is cursed. It's cursed. Like, what is going on with the third round? But ultimately, going back to our real conversation about receivers and preserving McCaffrey, this team needs vets to step up, whether it's Jordan Mason, Elijah Mitchell, and honestly, Chris Conley, again, really stood out and has the entire training camp period of, you know, he may not be the biggest name, but he's played in KC, he played in Jacksonville, and now in San Francisco. You know, we are looking at Chris Conley almost being a lock for this roster after just one preseason game.
Yeah, the running back room is going to be really interesting, and obviously so much of that hinges on what happens with Brandon Ayuk. We can talk a little bit more about that next hour. We can certainly dive into the running back room. You're talking about third-round picks and some of the issues and mistakes or maybe just simply bad picks in that round. I don't want to bring our mood down a little bit here, Sterling. And there's obviously one pick in this draft that saves it and might honestly make it one of the Niners' best drafts ever if it continues on this trajectory. Okay. But if you just take off that one pick, the final pick of this draft, the 2022 Niners draft, Sterling, it is ugly. Oh, my God. I'm sure you know all these names. I'm going to read them off for all of our listeners. The 2022 49ers NFL Draft, it might go down as, like, the worst draft ever until Brock Purdy happened. So the 49ers don't have a first-round pick. They draft Drake Jackson with their first overall pick. Had that incredible start to the season. And then three sacks against the Steelers, and then it seemed like didn't even play the rest of the season. He's already been ruled out for this entire season. Drake Jackson, out for the year. Second overall pick for the Niners in 2022. It was their first pick of two in the third round. Ty Davis Price, no longer a 49er. Then Danny Gray can't even get healthy for the first preseason game of the year. After that, Spencer Burford, who you just laid out.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, not terrible. Not terrible.
Backup offensive lineman, that's fine.
You're looking at a guy who might get beat out, and obviously he's dealing with a broken hand right now, but maybe would get beat out by a rookie, not first round, not second round pick this year. That was a fourth round pick a couple of years ago. After that, Samuel Womack. We've thought for a couple of years now, maybe Samuel Womack could be your nickel corner. I don't think he's getting that spot, Sterling. I don't know how you feel about that. He's not sniffing that spot. After Samuel Womack is Nick Zakel, offensive lineman. I wouldn't blame you if you don't really know who Nick Zakel is, because all he does is play in the preseason, and that's about it. After Nick Zakel, okay, this is actually kind of an okay pick. Kalia Davis in the sixth round.
Is it, though? Is it?
He was good today.
The last 2 years.
He was good today.
Preseason against the Titans, Marcus. Is that big of a deal, man?
Kalia Davis. After that, Tariq Castro-Fields, a corner in the sixth round.
Commander's legend, baby.
Yeah, he's not a Niner anymore, right? He's elsewhere.
No.
And then the last
They cut Tariq Castro-Fields, his rookie training camp, and the Commanders took him. He didn't even make the team.
So that's the draft through 8 picks. First 8 picks, Drake Jackson, Ty Davis Price, Danny Gray, Spencer Burford, Samuel Womack, Nick Zakel, Kalia Davis, Tariq Castro-Fields. You missed on practically all of those picks, at least up to this point. And then you get saved by Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. If it wasn't for Brock Purdy, Sterling, we would be talking about the 2022 NFL draft for the Niners as one of the worst drafts in the history of drafts. It has been so bad.
All I can say is, despite that terrible draft, to reference the Highlander, hey, there can only be one, baby. And if it means Brock Purdy is the one, I'll take it. Because that man's about to get $325 million, according to Bill Barnwell, and a massive record-breaking quarterback contract. And he's going to lead this franchise to hopefully not just one, but two, but three. But hopefully, if he can just get the first one, Super Bowls. Because Brock Purdy is the man. Although he didn't play tonight.
Oh, God. Jeez.
What a terrible draft.
Those drafts just absolutely disgusting. We hope that this 2024 draft is a whole lot better. We can talk about some of those draft picks. Ricky Pearsall did not play. Hopefully he gets back and is healthy. Renardo Green played. We can talk about him on the other side as well. Dominic Puni, we talked about him already a little bit. He looked good, and he might start at right guard. Malik Mustafa, we talked about him. Garendo did not play. Cowing did not play. We saw Tatum Bethune come in and play out of Florida State. He was the Niners' seventh-round pick. Maybe he has a chance to make this team. We'll see. But the 49ers lose preseason week number one in Tennessee. Final score 17-13. Some good, some bad. The major bad news for the Niners is one of their corners, Ambry Thomas, has broken his forearm. Kyle Shanahan says, quote, it'll be a while. So an indefinite absence for Ambry Thomas with that broken forearm. But other than that, the Niners get off relatively injury-free. We can talk more about everything coming up on the other side. 888-957-9570. That's the number to call. It's also the Xfinity mobile text line, 888-957-9570. And we're keeping an eye on our YouTube chat as always, youtube.com/957thegame, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. It's Sterling Bennett, Mark Randy with you. One more hour of overtime to go. The first overtime of the 2024 season. More coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.